Blog Talk Radio.
Kitab. Name.
And welcome to Live Up to Freedom. My name is Aino Zani Cyrus, and I will be your host today. I have a very, very special guest with me today, Mr. Randy Noble. He is a Christian author and a human rights activist for Iranians. He also is a host of a radio program, The Cross in the Desert, Speaking Hope and Freedom to Iran. He has recently published a book that I personally suggest everyone should get and read. And we will get to reasons for why I am suggesting that. The book's name is Rehane, A Beautiful Fragrance. Randy, thank you so much for being with me on the program today.
And thank you, Annie, for inviting me as a guest. It's a pleasure to be on your program. I love the title, Live Up to Freedom, because that's what we should live by, is freedom, and we have it here.
Oh, absolutely. And unfortunately, what I always say on every program is we are definitely not realizing what a precious thing it is to have freedom.
Yes, and I agree with you. When I talk to my Iranian friends all of the time, that's the one request they have of me is please pray for our freedom.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Randy, before we get Rehane is a story in the book. Would you please give a little background on how you started to be active in Iranian's side and what got you to do all of that? If you give a little background for our listeners, I would appreciate it.
Sure, Annie. It really happened 7 years ago. It was during the 2009 presidential elections in Iran. And, you know, I was busy with my two jobs, and as I watched the TV, I remember one day I saw a video that literally transformed my life, and it's why I do what I do. It's the video that everyone in the world has seen, at least if they haven't, they should. It's the video of Neda Sultan in an alleyway in Tehran bleeding to death. And come to find out that she was shot. She was peacefully protesting that day against the hijacked election where Ahmadinejad became president again. But everyone saw that video, and when I saw it for the first time, it gripped me, Annie, and I never was able to get the image out of my mind. And I find myself, after watching that video, beginning to write books about the Middle East. And this was the number one thing that got me interested in Iran, and it's hard to explain to you all of the factors that led to doing what I'm doing, but if you had to really narrow it down to one, it was that video that millions, Annie, have seen and still continue to see, that video of Neda dying in that alleyway. Come to find out, Neda's name in Persian means voice calling. And I literally feel like it was like a voice calling to me, Neda, for me to write for the rights of Iranians for their human rights, and really I credit that as the beginning of everything for me. There was one other incident that really had an impact on me. I found out my two Facebook friends, Miriam Rostampour and Marzia Amirzadeh, I found out that same year that they were in prison in Iran, and they were on death row for handing out Bibles. And when I began to learn about their story, these two events, Neda and then my friends Miriam and Marzia being on death row, is really, really the combination of those two things caused me to get interested in Iran and human rights.
Wow, that's amazing. When you talk about the 2009, that's when I also, when the Green Revolution happened, or green movement, we were hoping to turn into a revolution, but it was just a green movement. That's actually when I also decided to come out from the underground activities, because, I saw that video, and it was sent to me by one of my Iranian friends. And to this day, whenever I remember that video, to be honest, I just get all choked up. knowing that this woman, all she wanted was just peacefully to ask for her vote. Mm-hmm. And she died. I actually followed up, watched a lot of interviews with her mom as well. And I kept hearing that she wasn't violent. She wasn't working with any group. She was just angry because she wanted to have a better education. And she knew with Ahmadinejad she can't have that. So I can definitely relate to what you're explaining. As a Iranian, I don't know if I ever got the chance, Randy, but I want you to know it means a lot to me to know that you could have done anything you wanted in this country, and you decided to help us, to help our women and children, and that really, really means a lot to me.
Well, thank you, and it's my pleasure to do that. I mean, my books were about, in the beginning, about Muslim women and how they're treated. And when I saw what happened to Netta, of course, the issue of women just came right in front of my face. And, you know, Netta was not a very political person. Caspian, her fiancé, wasn't. But they felt like in 2009 they had to say something, as you pointed out. So the issue of women really catapulted me into this. And I wrote a book about the underground church in Iran and about Christians go through, Muslims that have become Christians, how they have to meet secretly. And I begin to write about Iran. And the next book I wrote was called The Rose of Nowruz, the story of a woman freedom fighter in Iran. It was a fictional novel, but based on truth of what happens there. And I begin to connect with my Iranian friends through these books and begin to talk to them on Facebook and share with them and just begin to be a voice for them. It really began with those different incidences that you asked about that really has led me to where I'm at today.
Well, that is definitely appreciated. I can promise you every Iranian, especially Iranian woman, we all do appreciate you putting your time and life into doing so. However, the main reason I asked you to be on the program today was about Rehana. It saddens me, Randy. Some people say, well, she already got enough exposure. Believe it or not, people told me that. She already got enough exposure. Why are you still talking about her? I let you answer that question.
The answer to that question is look at what Netta created. She was a symbol for all Iranian people. And unfortunately, sometimes these kinds of controversies happen, but let's look at what Rehana represents. She is a voice for all Iranian people. She's not just speaking for herself. As an Iranian woman, she represents Iranian women that are in prison. Now, maybe their stories haven't come to the media like Rehana's. They should. And I'm hoping through this book I will be able to garnish enough support that people will begin to talk about their stories like Rehana did. And we should support all Iranian women. And Rehana is that perfect symbol. And here's why she's so important, Annie. She did not bend to the propaganda of this regime. She did not admit to something that wasn't true. They tried again and again and again from the very beginning. Rehana, just say he didn't rape you. That's all they wanted, to protect Sarbandi's reputation. Just say he didn't rape you. And at the very end of her life, right before execution, they tried to do it again. She said, no, I cannot lie. Rehana decided, as an Iranian woman, I will not give in to this government, even if it costs me my life. So she is a big symbol. We should talk about her.
Amen. Exactly. Every time, either I hear it on your program, if I watch it on YouTube, if I read any material about her, I just stand and I said, I wish there was a way to rescue her, because if she was outside of that country, she could have been a huge voice to help every woman who's being abused, being beaten, being raped, and being killed in the Islamic Republic of Iran. So I agree. I'm not saying anyone else should, but Rehana should never, ever be forgotten. She is absolutely one of my heroes for standing up for what was right, even though she was too young. Which, for all of our listeners who may not be familiar with Rehana and her story and her case, Would you please, Randy, introduce Rehana to them?
Well, Rehana was pursuing a degree in computer software programming. And she was also working part-time at an advertising firm in Tehran. And she was pursuing the happiness in her life despite where she lived. And her sisters describe her as one of the most positive influences in their life. She would take time out of her busy life and help them and support them and be an emotional support for them. And Rehana was very happy with what she was doing. She was wanting to pursue a career, and she wanted to get her own printing office opened. And so she was being very successful. She would go to university part-time and would go to advertising part-time. And so one day in the spring of 2007, in fact, it was early spring, right after Nowruz, she was sitting at Nasser Ice Cream Parlor and talking to a client on the phone, and she was talking about the job that she does. She was also involved in interior decorating, and she did a lot of things. And it happened to be that Morteza Sabandi and a Mr. Sheki overheard her conversation, and they approached her and said, "We understand that you're an interior decorator." And he introduced himself as a surgeon. "Would you come and redesign my office, my suite?" And Rehana was thrilled at this. Her mother wasn't so thrilled, you know, and she was very, you know, careful about what Rehana did. But Rehana had that independent spirit. She wanted to succeed. And so, to make a long story short, she did meet one day with Sarbandi. He took her to what he described as his apartment flat. When she got inside, it was anything but that. It was empty with a few tables and chairs here, furniture. And he told her, Rehana, and by this time, Rehana is a little apprehensive. You know, this isn't what I thought it was going to be. He told her to relax, take off her hijab. When she was completely unglued by that, why would he be asking me that? I'm here to do a job. I'm here to, you know, recommend how his office suite should be redesigned. And from there, he tried to rape her. And at one point, Rehana saw a knife on the table, and Sarbandi saw her looking at it, and he said, "Go ahead. Stab me." He taunted her. If you know anything about Rehana, she was not a violent person, and she was a very kind, compassionate person. But in that moment, because she had no way of escape, and this man was going to make good what he was going to do to her, she stabbed him. And he began to bleed out, and she ran out the door. And as she ran out, this Mr. Sheki shows up, and she leaves. But Rehana, when she got down to the street, called paramedics. This is someone that, even in the midst of this traumatic situation, even thought of his safety and called paramedics. So this day, July 7th, 2007, in the seventh month, 777, was the most incredibly life-changing day for Rehana. And from there, everything just gets worse for her.
You mentioned where she, I would say, Randy, me growing up there, I would say it wasn't just because she didn't have a way to escape. Even if she did, she would end up with the same destiny, because in Iran, if you're raped, it's your fault. You did it and you'll be punished. I understand why she did, and I completely stand by her. And I say, I would do the same thing if I had the chance.
You bring up a very good point. I'm glad you brought this up, because, you know, shortly after this incident, after, I think it was after her execution, Farzana, in a city in Iran, I forget the name of the city, and she was a hotel clerk, and one of the Revolutionary Guards was trying to rape her, like what happened to Rehana, and Farzana jumped and killed herself, because exactly what you said is true. If a woman in Islam is raped, unless she can prove it by four eyewitnesses, and there's no way to do that, she will be treated as a fornicator. She can be stoned and put to death. So Farzana, knowing about Rehana's story, I'm sure she did the very same thing. And not only that, Annie, just recently I heard the story of a young teenage girl on the Iran football team, or the soccer team, that was in a similar situation and leapt to her death too. Why do women do this? because exactly as you said, there's no escape. They will be accused of bringing the rape to themselves.
Yeah, basically everything is woman's fault in Islam. That's just the way it is. It has happened to me. I watch it happen to my friends. Since I left Iran, I hear it happening to other women. And yes, I get this question a lot, Randy, that why do women do it? Why do they kill themselves? Why do they hide? Why do they not ask for a divorce? And it doesn't matter how much I explain that they don't have a choice. It's hard for Western women to understand because, again, there is freedom here. I never said rape only happens in Islam. No, what I do say, though, is if a woman is raped in the United States of America, she has the choice to go out there and file a complaint and make sure somebody's going to pay for what happened to her. I'm not saying it's less of a pain. I never say that. But the fact of a rapist knowing he could pay for a crime he's committing could definitely help minimize the possibility. However, in Islam and Islamic countries, like Islamic Republic of Iran, they freely do that because they know not only they get away with it, if the victim comes out and say anything, well, she's going to be the one to be punished. And that's exactly the case of Farzaneh and Rehaneh. Now, two different cases, as we said. Farzaneh didn't kill the rapist, killed herself. Rehaneh killed the rapist, and she was killed. You see, it's a pattern. They have no way out. It's their fate. It's the way they are forced to live life.
Yes, and the reason why I'm so glad you brought up this point, I wrote about this in my book, what kind of culture did Rehaneh grow up in? She grew up in the kind of culture that you're describing, and I brought up the case of one young girl back in 2004. Her name was Atafi Asalahi, and there was a man, a former Revolutionary Guard man, that had abused and raped this girl. And when she finally reported it, the judge, of course, did not agree with her and did not support her. And this is back in 2004. She's a 16-year-old girl. And she knew, Atafi knew, that her case wasn't going anywhere in court, so she took off her hijab in protest and then threw the shoe at the judge. And the judge decided, I'm going to put this girl to death for daring to stand up against this system. And 16-year-old Atafi was hanged in 2004. Much has been said about her case. But this goes on in Iran. This is the culture that Rehaneh grew up in with how women were treated.
Exactly. And unfortunately, our media here doesn't want to have anything to do with them. To me, they're not worth the airtime. And one of the missions, Randy, you know I have, is to make sure somehow, someday, every single case of unjust women, children, or even men in Iran will be exposed here in our media. Because unless that happens, there is no hope for my people back in Iran. And let's not even get us started on what we both are very angry with, which is the really evil deal that Obama made with Iran. That on its own is just frustrating and disappointing.
Yes, because it didn't address the issue of human rights is what we're talking about today. You know, Rehaneh was tortured for 7.5 years, and they were building a false case against her. Instead of exonerating her as a real victim of a rape attack, they made her into the perpetrator. And at one point in prison, because they wanted to build this case that she was having some kind of an affair with Sarbandi and that she killed him in anger, they decided that they were going to already put her to death because he, that is Sarbandi, was a former agent, and his reputation was far more important than Rehaneh's life. At one point, Shamlou, one of the head interrogators, took her into a place in the detention center or prison, I forget exactly where, and showed her a young girl being dangling from her wrist from the ceiling. She was almost passed out, and she was being tortured, this young girl, and Rehaneh was just traumatized by this. And he said to Rehaneh, that is Shamlou, this is what will happen to your sister unless you write that you bought a knife to kill Sarbandi. Now, Rehaneh loved her family and sister. She was forced, as many Iranians are due, to write a false confession, and she did that only to save her sister's life. And this is how they built the case against Rahane. They decided that they were going to do this. They tried to make it sound like this is an affair between two families, the Sarbandi family and the Jabari family, but it really wasn't. The government was building a case to protect Sarbandi's reputation. This is an example of the human rights that is completely left out of the media, and yet we sit down with Iran at a deal back in July. And so I agree with you, Annie. We have to make Rahane's case known all over the world, and she is a representative to all women.
Oh, absolutely. I agree. And yes, there was a video. I don't know if you ever saw it on my page, Randy, but there was a video I put on, and it was a woman. Her face is blurred out, obviously, for safety purposes, but she explained what happened to her in prison. And same story. I've been to prison. I watched my own closest friend sodomized all night right in front of my face because she was a Baha'i. What killed me that night, Randy, was that they wouldn't touch me that night. They just tortured me mentally by forcing me watch her because I was born into a Muslim family with a Sheikh father, and she was born into a Baha'i family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the discrimination goes so deep there. It's not just Christians. I'm glad you brought out the Baha'is also are persecuted and treated like this. And the women especially is what we're focusing in on today. Not that the men aren't persecuted. We don't want to leave them out. But we're focusing in on the women and the Baha'i faith and the Christians. Where do you hear about this in the media? My Iranian friends all the time talk to me when I do my radio programs. Can you do something about the Baha'is? And I've done programs about them before. I want to represent all of Iranians. And I feel as though Rahane at this time best represents women, and I wanted to read to you a quote here of what Rahane herself said, and this is what motivated me to write the book, Annie. She says, "I, Rahane Jabari, am 26 years old. With a hanging rope in front of my eyes that I am not afraid of, I write to tell the tale that I lived. I want to tell you everything that I said in court, which they did not understand, and everything that I cried out under torture, which was not heard. Everything that I screamed out while I was brutally kicked by four forceful interrogators who regarded themselves as almighty." And then Rahane writes this. This is what captured my heart to write this story. She writes, "Perhaps someone in this world would hear my cries and feel my pain." This is Rahane Jabari's prison letter number one. That last sentence, I feel like in so many ways I've heard her cries, I have felt her pain, and I want to defend her honor. It's more than just sympathy. It's about the honor of a woman, and especially an Iranian woman.
Well, yeah, on my side, I can say I do hear her. And again, I wish there was a way for us, Randy, to save her. It wasn't. But yes, it is our duty as humans to make sure she's never forgotten. It's our duty as humans to make sure we are giving her a voice, and we are making sure that any other woman who is ever going to go through the same thing will know that she's not alone.
Yes.
She might be in a prison cell by herself, but all of our hearts, thoughts, and prayers are with them. Mm-hmm. They're not alone.
Yes. You know, the reason why I called this book Rahane, A Beautiful Fragrance, is because of the kind of character she is. She had a beautiful character, a beautiful fragrance of mercy and honor and courage. And you know that toward the end, Annie, she was able to forgive her interrogators, able to leave this world with a clean conscience that she did not do wrong, that she had been tortured and abused, but yet she forgave. And there was one incident in her life that has never been printed out on the internet, and I don't know why. But her mother shared with me this amazing story that while she was in prison one evening reading, a young girl appeared in her prison cell, and they tried to find this girl the next day and couldn't. This young girl walked into her prison cell. Rahane was startled because it was after lights out. "Why are you here? Who are you?" This girl began to share the love of Christ with Rahane, And as a result of this, she gave her a little tiny metal cross, put it in her hand. Rouhani wakes up the next morning, was certain this was a dream. You know, the psychological things people go through. She woke up, and underneath the pillow was still this metal cross. As a result of this, Rouhani began to read the Bible. She had to have it brought into the prison through a friend, because in Iran, for her to read the Bible in prison is very dangerous, but she did. And as a result of that, Annie, and she writes so beautifully this, and I put it in the book, that she knows now that God will not leave her, that there is a miracle yet to happen in her life, she says, and I know that he loves me. She was able, through this encounter, to forgive those that tortured her. And that's why I say she's a beautiful fragrance. She had such mercy and honor and courage. Her sister Shari says she's as strong as a mountain. She remembers Rouhani didn't have a whole lot of emotion. She never cried a lot, but she was as strong as a mountain. And that was the Rouhani that I got to know by writing this book.
I agree. She definitely had to be strong. You cannot survive what she did if she wasn't strong. With that said, we're going to take a quick break. Ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned. We'll be back shortly.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is John Wolf DeVere, and I am taking the Take Back America Challenge. What is the Take Back America Challenge? Well, the Take Back America Challenge is taking back the love, the honor, the respect, the integrity that comes with being a proud American. Is this taking back America for the right or for the left or for the liberal or the conservative? No. It's taking back America for Americans. You see that flag flying over my shoulder, folks? That flag is flying because of the last breath of every man and woman whom ever served, whom is serving, and whoever will serve.
Hello, my name is Inaz Annie Cyrus, and this is my Take Back America Challenge.
Hello, my name is Jeff Sharp, and this is my Take Back America Pledge.
This is Tina Waterworth, and I am accepting the Take Back America Challenge.
This is David Hansen, and once again, I'm taking the Take Back America Challenge.
Ben Waterworth, and I'm going to do the Take Back America Challenge.
My name is Julie, and this is my Take Back America Challenge.
My name is Chase, and this is my Take Back America Challenge.
My name is Colin Walker, and this is my Take Back America Challenge.
My name is Eve Waterworth, and I am glad to be doing the Take Back America Challenge.
My name is Gavin Walker, and this is my Take Back America Challenge.
My name is Joyce, and this is my Take Back America Challenge.
My name is Stephanie Walker, and this is my Take Back America Challenge.
Please repeat after me. Place your hands over your hearts. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Hi, my name is Caden Walker, and this is my Take Back America Challenge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Men.
I like a man who is into sports.
I like athletic men.
I like a man who is fun.
I like classy men.
I like smart men.
I like a man who's trendy.
I like a muscular man.
I like clever men.
I like a man who is sensual.
I like a man who's well-dressed.
I like a man who is well-dressed.
I like a man who is well-dressed.
I like a well-dressed man.
ModaItaly.com, Italian fashion made affordable.
ModaItaly.com.
All proceedings are donated to FPC Radio.
Thank you.
You are listening to FPC Network. Make sure to tune in every Monday for Operation Reintegration, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Every Tuesday, The Wolf Den at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Every Thursday, Patriot Pride at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Every Friday, The Sharp Edge, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And every Saturday, Live Up to Freedom at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
And every Sunday, The Rebel Radio at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Call in at number 929-477-3101 and make sure to follow us on Facebook at FPC Network.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Live Up to Freedom. My name is Aino Zani Cyrus, your host, and with me today is my great friend and also a Christian author and a human rights activist for Iranians. He is also the host of the radio program, The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. Randy, welcome back.
Thank you very much, Annie. Good to be here.
Absolutely a pleasure to have you. You know that I always love talking to you. As much as I always say that as much as I try to know everything that is going on in Iran, there's always something I can learn from you about what's going on in Iran. And that's just amazing.
Well, it's a pleasure. I try to keep up with the news that's going on, and there's so much happening with the physicist that's in dire need of having a kidney transplant. Omen is his first name. There's so much that we have to speak out for, Annie, and you do such a remarkable job. I look at your posts, and I'm always seeing something you are informing and educating us about, and thank you for all the hard work that you are doing.
Oh, absolutely a pleasure, and I call it my mission. Before we went to the break, you were mentioning about the strength of Rehan, and also you mentioned that nowhere it was ever published that she started to read Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a friend of mine who, back in Iran, she does a lot of what you would call underground journalism. She was the first person who informed me of such a thing. And she said, I do believe that one of the things that made her case, Rehana's case, even worse against her was the fact that she went ahead and on one of the sessions of, I call it torture, but you know, when they take you for interrogation, she just sat there and she started praying. And the interrogator, obviously, from the praying, you would understand what they're praying to. And that's what made it harder on her. They didn't like the idea. The reason I'm mentioning this is because I know you have a lot of information about what Christians go through in Iran.
Yeah. My book, Shining Star, Light in the Darkness of Iran, one of the first books I wrote about what happens in Iran, is there is a real hunger and thirst in Iran. They see what Islam is doing in a practical way to people. It's destroying their lives. It's controlling their thinking. It's making them vulnerable and afraid to say anything publicly for fear of arrest, torture, and imprisonment. But many, many of Iranians are finding a love relationship with God through Jesus, and they are finding a real purpose in their life, Annie, and they are willing to take the risk of being Christians in a country where it's against the law to change your religion, and many of them have to meet in house church movements. My book, Shining Star, is kind of a wake-up call to us in the West to say, look, we are so comfortable with our Christianity here. We don't have the slightest idea about suffering like the Iranians do or the Iraqis do in the Middle East. We have no concept of what it means to follow Jesus. So I hope that with that book, I'm going to wake up us that Iranians are finding hope in Christ, and they are suffering for it, and their lives are being put at risk for it. And that should be a message to us over here to not take our freedoms for granted.
And would you agree, it should also open our eyes to knowing that this whole so-called refugee crisis is the very first thing that's going to take that freedom away from us?
Yes, I'm very thankful that one of the nominees for president, Donald Trump, is not afraid to come out and say that we have to vet this system and stop it and figure out what to do before we let any more Muslims in. Now, you know, I have a lot of Muslim friends I care about, I'm very kind to, but I also have to think about our safety. And we need someone that's going to be radical about this issue and to shut the door and to build the wall. I don't think that he's against refugees. I know he has Muslim friends. What he's saying is, look at what happened in San Bernardino. Look at what happened in Paris and Brussels. This should be a sign that it's going to happen here to make 9/11 look like a parlor game, a kindergarten game. Things are going to get worse if we don't do something about this immigration system. And it sounds harsh to some people. None of us would be against refugees. You're a refugee that came here and became a citizen. But we have to do whatever it takes. And every president has the responsibility to protect his people. And so if Donald Trump has taken a lot of flack for this, so what? He is doing what the president of the United States is not doing currently.
Exactly. And here's the interesting part. Again, I'm sure you already know that, but let's say if there is an American person who converted to Islam, if he would go to Iran and say, hey, I converted to Islam and I'd like to come and live in this country, Iran's not going to let them in.
No.
Why are we letting them in?
Well, I think it's because as a nation, we're a nation of immigrants. That's been our calling card for many, many years. Statue of Liberty, you know, all about that. So we want to live up to our name. We're a generous, compassionate nation, but we have to do something now. Illegal immigrants come up from Mexico and kill people. You've heard the horror stories of people just leaving ordinary lives and an illegal immigrant walks up, shoots them. They are the biggest victims of crime that come across that border. So we have to take a stand, and we have to do what is necessary to protect us. And so I just hope that if Donald Trump becomes president, that he stands by what he claimed he was going to do, because our current president is not. Political correctness, Annie, is the death of our nation. And if we don't take a stand now, then like what ISIS claimed 2 years ago is going to come true. They said they were going to raise the flag of Allah at the White House. We kind of laugh at that. Oh, really? We shouldn't.
Exactly. We should not laugh at that. Same thing that I sometimes feel like a broken record, because I keep saying I am watching history repeating itself. That is what happened in Iran, the revolution back in 1979. A year before that, Iranians were laughing at it. They were laughing at it. When Khomeini was exiled to France, people were laughing. They're like, oh, he's never going to get in power. Guess what? He did. 37 years later. People are dying for crimes that don't even count as a crime in any book.
We don't learn from history, Annie. That's the problem. And this is history looking at us in the face. And I don't know, he promised all this democracy and freedom, and he was anything but that. He was a murderer, a dictator. He destroyed lives.
Oh, absolutely. And it just keeps getting worse. That every day, there are cases right now. I was watching this video yesterday in a school in one of our own states where Muslims are being angry because the school is not giving them an Islamic holiday. And a woman is standing there saying, we're not a minority anymore. We are going to be the majority soon. And when I play videos like that, here's the response I get. Oh, yeah, try it. Well, they don't need to try it. They're already there.
Yeah, look at Dearborn. It's a Muslim community. It has its own set of laws. It's protected by the police. These are things that are happening all around us, and we're putting our head in the sand.
Exactly. And here's the thing. Another reason for wanting to tell the stories of people being executed in Islamic countries, especially Islamic Republic of Iran, is that's another reason for it. Let's say Rehana's case. When Sharia comes in and take over, every woman will have to fear what Iranian women are fearing today.
Mm-hmm. If you think about where you used to live, what is the plight of a woman there? Number one, her testimony is less than half of a man. Her testimony is treated half that of a man. Children's rights go to the man. Inheritance rights go to the man. A woman can't leave the country without their husband's permission. A woman is the possession and property of an Islamic man, and you can see that women don't have the right and the freedom in Iran to publicly assemble with another man, to play instruments with another man, to go to concerts with another man. There is a segregation of sexes there. This is a perfect example of what women will live like if our nation were to even implement Sharia law. They would be wearing dark clothing, hijabs, and they would become the property of men. And why is the left, the radical left, not speaking up about the rights of women as we talk about this right now? We're, you know, they always are talking about freedom, and Hillary Clinton is the big woman rights leader, right? No, wrong. And she's the one that actually, with the Clinton Foundation, accepted money from countries that oppress women, like Saudi Arabia. And, you know, that's in the news here lately here, too. So people like Hillary Clinton and the followers of Hillary Clinton, why don't they speak up about the plight of women in the Middle East and in Iran? You'd never hear them talk about it.
Well, no, that's exactly the point. Why would they? If they do so, people are going to start waking up and they're going to stand up for their rights. And the whole big plan is going to fall apart. They want Sharia here. I don't understand why someone like, as you said, why women would want Sharia here. But I do know a lot of people don't even know what it is. And the reason they don't know is exactly this. They don't go and buy your books. They don't go online and read about what's happening to women in Iran.
Mm-hmm.
They don't watch. They don't try. Here's the thing. As you said, denial. It's easier to deny the existence of it than actually facing the horror of it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You heard the term, I guess a few years ago, the real war on women. And the liberal left would talk about reproductive rights, the morning after pill, my rights as a woman to control my body, to do what I want to do. That's the real war on women that Republicans, if they get in power, they would oppress women. I have to say the real war on women is right here. Rahana Jabari and every Iranian woman that we've been talking about today, that's where the real war on women exists. It's against people and women like Rahane who are struggling every day to survive. This is where the real war exists, Annie.
Exactly. Where were all the feminists when we were trying so hard to get Rahane out? I remember it wasn't even about getting her out. It was everybody was trying to at least just overturn the execution. Why did she have to die? Where were you all? As you said, all of you who are worried about the abortion and, you know, the pills and this and that, where were you defending her? Why didn't any of you try to talk about her? I didn't see anyone talking about her on The View in the morning. I didn't see anyone talking about her on Fox or CNN or Sean Hannity. Why is that? Is she not a woman or is she not a human? Oh, no, the point is you rather hide the truth.
Well,
go ahead.
It's very sad, but I have to give some credit here. I wanted to mention in our talk together some prominent Iranian activists that stood up for Rahane. One in particular is Nazanin Afshinjam, Iranian human rights lady that lives in Canada. She spearheaded the campaign that got over 200,000 signatures protesting this execution. She was joined by a good friend of mine, Shadi Pave, and a good friend of yours as well, Shabnam Asadali. They worked very hard together, doing the best they could to bring awareness about the plight of Rahane. So I really want to give credit to them for the extraordinary job that they did.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But again, sadly, very sadly, they were stopped at a certain point too.
Mm-hmm.
They were all stopped. And that is the complaint I wake up to every morning, Randy. I think, why is this? We talk about freedom here, right? We talk about freedom of religion, freedom of speech, freedom of this, freedom of that. But within that freedom, they are literally using it against ourselves because the media and the left is not letting people know that Islam is not a religion. So it should not have the access to freedom of religion.
Mm.
The more you give them freedom, the worse the situation gets. We do not want what's happening in Europe to start happening here in the U.S.
Well, I have to say, from everything that I'm looking at in the media every day, just like you do, we have still got our heads in the sand. We are not. Our media needs to have a concentrated, unified effort together to make this awareness so strong, and we need to educate like you're doing every day, that we get people to understand that this is not yelling and screaming conspiracy, that this is coming to our doorstep. Go back to San Bernardino, go back to Brussels, go back to Paris. What more proof do you need? Go to Rahane, read A Beautiful Fragrance. This is a perfect example of what will happen to a woman, any woman that would be under Sharia law. And it should not happen. It should not take place. We need a wake-up call.
We do. And we definitely need a system that's not going to stop us. You know the problem we all facing. Let's say right now, what's the biggest way of getting in touch with people? Social network. Mm-hmm. What does it happen? I put a post up, next morning it gets taken down.
Yes, unfortunately, we have also the government trying to control the media, and they will use every means to an end to control us and you. And political correctness, I go back to this, this is what is trying to stop us. We don't dare to say things to offend. We don't dare come out and say something someone may not like. What more example of political correctness than what happened in San Bernardino? The couple next door knew something suspicious was happening. And why didn't they mention anything? They were afraid of Muslim or Islamic bashing, and they kept their mouths shut. Political correctness is a perfect example there of why those people died the next day. This is what's killing us.
And here's the thing. What we need to realize is this political correctness will gradually turn into what we have in Iran. You know about it, Randy.
Oh, yeah.
We don't have such a thing as freedom of speech. You can get charged, put in prison without a court. You will be executed if you in any shape or form disrespect the supreme leader. Let that sink in, people. You talk bad about the supreme leader, you won't even get a court date. You go to prison, and you will be executed. And all of this is started from political correctness back in the time.
And you see, you understand this from an angle that we don't understand, because you lived through it, you understood it, you observed it, you saw it. And when you come here to say, wake up, a lot of people are going, oh, well, that was just your problem there, but it's not. You are seeing the same thing happening here as we speak. This is happening every day, and it becomes worse and worse every day. So you understand it. Now, of course, we as Americans live by the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the First Amendment, but they're being challenged every single day. Every day, our freedom to speak is being nullified and challenged. In the classroom, it's acceptable now to teach the precepts of Islam, but not Christianity. So what is happening to us? It sounds to me like that there is a movement afoot trying to transform our Constitution. And if you go on the internet and do stories, you'll find that many Muslims agree that Sharia law is better than the Constitution. They're all for it. This is not just a few people. These are a lot of people. A lot of people. Robert Spencer went out and did a survey and found out that the mosques were teaching the preference of Sharia law over the Constitution, and he had a survey of about 70% of them teaching this. And this is a man that knows his stuff. So we are facing a real challenge.
Exactly. And unfortunately, people are not waking up because our media knows how to distract people.
Uh-huh.
They do. Forgive me, but sometimes I just feel like I can go on all day on a live feed and tell people what's happening. And then as soon as I get off live feed, two little cute cat videos and one new video of Kim Kardashian. And that's all it takes for them to forget what they heard.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think I understand a little bit of what you're saying. In fact, I know I do. Until it happens to you and me, we're going to be lulled to sleep by the media until it happens to you and me. And when it happens to that person that's lulled to sleep, all of a sudden now, I see what you're saying. Sometimes, Annie, unfortunately, we have to have a crisis in our life to wake us up. And unfortunately, that has to happen.
Well, that's very, very, very heartbreaking. I don't want to see that happening here, not to my fellow Americans, not to myself, not to you. I don't want it to happen to any human. That's why I keep saying we need to put aside borders. One of my arguments, Randy, is always like, let's not say United States, UK, France, Italy. No, we all have to unite as human and fight this evil together. I get questioned a lot that why do you put these stories, horrifying pictures of women in Iran? And I say, because you need to learn. They are your fellow human beings.
It comes down to humanity. I was so happy to see that you posted today about the woman in Iran that was a victim of the horrible acid attack 2 years ago. You gave a great example of distraction, and both you and I talked about this before the interview, that we think that the Iranian government had these acid attacks happen to women in Isfahan to get the public away from what was happening to Rahana being executed, and they succeeded in distracting them.
Oh, absolutely, and that's the thing. There, it's happening every day. I don't know if you know or not, Randy, last year in 2015, we had over 600 victims of acid throwing in Iran. 600 people, and only 5 of them died. The rest are living life with the pain every day. And I want to know, where is the feminist group that is going to help raise money for their plastic surgery so they can get that disfiguration out of their face?
It's horrible. It's unthinkable. The young Afghan girl, 6 years old, raped, murdered, and dipped into acid. I don't know, but I saw that story. I just wept. It just broke me. But this is what's happening to women. She was Afghan. And, of course, in Iran, they're hated.
Count as human at all. That's the thing. They are talking about not bringing charges against the guy. Because the Afghan girl, and when you say, yeah, let's make sure everybody knows, she wasn't just raped and killed. She was raped and stabbed. A body of a 6-year-old girl was stabbed to death. That should wake everyone up.
Yes, you're right. You know, Annie, I want to mention that talking about stories, and I've tried to do this with my book, The Cross in the Desert, Speaking Hope and Freedom to Iran. It's a picture of Rahane on the front cover. I have a couple stories in there about Rahane. This is before I wrote my current book. But in this book, The Cross in the Desert, it's the stories of some of my Iranian friends to get the message of what life is like in Iran. And I put them in this book so that we can look at the stories of Iranians who are crying out for us to do one thing: stand up, speak out, and pray for their freedom to do something. And that's what my goal is through writing Rahane. And then the book I wrote previous to that is to get the message out that Iranians are crying out to us. They see our freedoms. They see our lifestyle. They want what we have. And what I like so much about you and many Iranians is that you came here and haven't forgotten your people. You tirelessly work every day to be a voice for them. And that is wonderful.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, I just hope one day somehow, somewhere, as you said, something will happen to make people realize there was a base back in the time years ago, and that was humanity. Let's stop this whole borders and names, and it doesn't matter what's your political view. It really shouldn't matter.
Right.
What should matter is that there are people being tortured, oppressed, raped, executed every single day that you wake up and fight each other over Trump and Cruz.
Oh, yeah, I'm glad you said that, because you've hit a real chord in my heart. We are so preoccupied with petty things. Humanity is suffering, regardless of their religion, regardless of their political views. Humanity is crying out to us. When are we going to put aside stupid, petty differences and stand up for each other? Exactly.
Exactly. Randy, since we're coming to the end of the program, please tell our audience where they can find you and where they can get the book if they like to go and get a copy.
Well, you can find me on my Facebook page. Just type in my name, Randy L. Noble, N-O-B-L-E. You can go to Amazon.com, and you can find the book. You can just type in my name or just type in Rahane's first name. It'll come right to it. You can follow my radio broadcasts by just going to my Cross in the Desert page. The name of the program is The Cross in the Desert, Speaking Hope and Freedom to Iran. It's broadcast live every Monday and Thursday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time, and you can always listen to the replay. It's always there. So if you want to contact me, those are the avenues. You can contact me also on Twitter. Randy for Iran is my Twitter name.
Perfect. I really suggest all my listeners, please do go and listen to his programs. I have been on his program. It was an honor, but I can tell you, if you really want to learn, if you really want to know what is happening to Iranian people just because of Islamic laws, you really want to tune in. You really want to listen to Randy. He does bring some great guests. It does bring a lot of great information that if you start listening to, it will help you wake up, and it will help you wake other people up, because he talks facts. Just like me, one of the reasons I have tons of respect for you, Randy, is that I have always seen how you make sure to bring facts to your program, to your writing, to your pages. You do not just go off with someone said something. You make sure it's the fact, and I love that about you.
Well, it's important, Annie, because people have feelings, and I don't want to mislead people. I want people to be paranoid and to be afraid. I want them to know what is true, and I know that you work with the Glazov gang, and you do a superb job with the facts as well, and that's very important. We want to back up what we have to say so that people do have what is true, because the problem is the media misleads people so often. We need to take an example and not be like them.
Exactly. Thank you so much, Randy. It was absolute pleasure and honor to have you on the program. I hope you will. I know you're very busy. I hope you will find time to come back again.
Well, thank you so much for allowing me to come on. And I just want to say in conclusion, this is not about me. This is about Rahane's voice. And if anybody through our broadcast today will read the book and take up the cause for Iranians, and Rahane's voice is the most important thing, more important than my voice. So I hope that you will read Rahane, A Beautiful Fragrance, and get to know a real beautiful Iranian lady.
Amen. My lovely listeners, thank you so much for being with us today. I always appreciate all your support, and hopefully we will all talk to you next week, same time, same day, same channel. Until then, stay safe, stay vigilant, and the closing song this week is definitely and definitely in memory of Rayhana. You all stay safe. Goodbye.
خستگی هامو بگیری، غم چشمامو بگیری، درد و از تنم بگیری، بذارین برم از اینجا، بذارین برم از اینجا، جنگ من با تن تمومه، بردن و باختن تمومه، بذارین برم از اینجا، موندن و رفتن تمومه، نمیخوام و نمیتونم، به لبم رسیده جونم، نذارین اینجا بمونم، بذارین برم از اینجا، بذارین برم از اینجا. خستگی هامو بگیری، غم چشمامو بگیری، درد از تنم بگیری، بذارین برم از اینجا، بذارین برم از اینجا، جنگ من با تن تمومه، بردن و باختن تمومه، بذارین برم از اینجا، موندن و رفتن تمومه، نمیخوام و نمیتونم به لبم رسیده جونم نذارین اینجا بمونم بذارین برم از اینجا بذارین برم